Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Zayin, and we are holding Tanya right before the two dads. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Borei Kama Gdola Kochasho Busha, Sherei Siya Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bar Kamtza Vecherif Et Beito V'Saraf Et Echalon. This closes the story of Bar Kamtza. I just want to point out to you. So what we learned yesterday was the Inyan of Asher Ereb Fachet Tamid, and that Rabbi Yochanan, the entire focus of Rabbi Yochanan is on the idea of Asher Ereb Fachet Tamid, not on the particulars of the events, and that therefore there's no reason whatsoever, nor is there any basis to relate the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza to Sinas Chinam. And furthermore, the basis for actually hating a guy like Bar Kamtza is very powerful. The guy was an absolute Rosh Hagomer, willing to destroy all of Klal Yisrael because of his own insults. And this is a person that I would have hated, that's for sure, and it would certainly not have been Sinas Chinam. So I have no idea why we're stressing Sinas. It's nothing to do with Sinas Chinam. But one of the beautiful Ramazim is the very names Kamtza Bar Kamtza, which is not really the names of people, because the word Kamtza means an ant. And the word Bar Kamtza means even less than an ant. And that's the point of the names. That was just like the Gemara said. Remember when kids are coming back from a funeral and they see Achlefi Tumei and they say, oh, we just attended this funeral. And the Gemara says, yeah, it doesn't mean it was a funeral. Maybe they had an aunt that died and they buried the Kamtza. Right? So it's just to indicate something silly and ridiculous and meaningless. That's the point. You got these complete idiots, Kamtza, one aunt and then a baby aunt, and that destroys the whole country. So this is the first part of the idea of Asher Ereb Fachet Tamid, which is the law of unbelievable unintended consequences. And it sets the tone for the remaining, which again have absolutely nothing to do with the content of the issue. So at the end over here, the one thing that we can derive is that even though this Bar Kamtza was incredible Russia, that nonetheless, because of the Keach Busha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Churban to be put into his hand, which is even a stronger Nukuda, that this is something that is a total shock. It's nothing to do with the person himself and the Maisa, but it's the Keach of Busha itself. Atanagola vatanagolta choriv turmalka. So let's just repeat that. Today's daf, Masechet Gittin, they brought you from Yerushalayim, HaKadosh is daf Nun Zayin, and now this second of the three rayas to Asher Ereb Fachet Tamid that are central to the Churban, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot I had wanted to bring out one more very important nekuda that maybe we hadn't brought out fully yesterday, and that is that the idea of Asher Ereb Fachet Tamid is brought out most powerfully by the story of the Kamtza Bar Kamtza Gufa, because of the way that the whole thing happened, which was the Ben Avkumus, was the unbelievable point that the whole Churban comes about because of somebody who's very, very chayshish. Dafka, he's very nervous about what's going to happen, right? If we let people kill somebody because of a mum, people are going to think that you're actually supposed to kill someone. That puts a mum into kachim and so on and so forth. So Reb Zechariah ben Avkula says, Reb Yochanan, he's the reason that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But I thought you were trying to bring a raya to the inyan of someone who's supposed to always be nervous and worried about things. So that's the whole point. The Asher Ereb Fachet Tamid has nothing to do with your being nervous about things. It has to do with the depth of the awareness of consequences. So that to be involved in the shaila of whether people will think that you're allowed to be matumum bekachim, or that you can be allowed to kill a matumum bekachim, and that you're allowed to bring a mum bekachim, this is what you're worried about when there might not be a Beis HaMikdash and no one will know what matum mum bekachim even means in a few years, like the matzav is today. That's insane. So it's a complete loss of awareness in terms of what is actual and what is your imagination in the possibilities that we need to worry about. And as we pointed out yesterday, that's precisely where we are today. Next story was Tarnagolava Tarnagota Choriv Turmalka. So there used to be this minhag, which again is the same thing as Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Here it's a little ant, and here it's a ridiculous rooster and a hen. And this Turmalka was an incredible area that was very densely populated, as we're going to see. In a minute was that area. So on the way out to a wedding, they would have a minig that a rooster and a hen were sent out in front of them as a remez to pru urvu katarnagolin. So you should be like pura varova tarnagolin. We know that even among goyim, the idea of utilizing a rooster, we call a rooster a cock, kufa, because of its remez to pura varivya. People relate roosters, I don't, you know, not a farm person, so I don't know, but they actually see it as a symbol of pura varivya. And so this was a symbol to them, like we would say, kidagim. Actually, that's the only place where we find Pruvu said the fairish. You know, the only thing that was there were actually the fish and the birds, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Pruvu to them. So anyway, that was their minhag. And right in the middle of a wedding, there was this a company of Roman soldiers were walking by. Oh, and they see this rooster and they grab it. So the people went mad. They started beating the Romans. They had an absolute mob because they were so devastated at their minig. Can you imagine? Also, Amr Lelekesar. So, okay, they went and reported back. Mortal Bach Yodai. The Jews are mobbing. They're killing Roman soldiers. And sure enough, Ata Alayu, they sent this massive attack against HaMelech. Happy Bell, who barred the Roma? So there was this wild man, and we have, as far as I know, no information at all about this person, who was, if you think the Olympics have got some long distance jumps, this guy could jump a kilometer, you know, Cuff its meal. So this was one of the guardians of the galaxy, let me tell you. And you can imagine that if he could do that kind of jump, he was probably pretty good at fighting too. Anyway, he would all on his own, Kotobu, he was killing them left and right. They were taking it across the chin. So Shakle Kesel Tage Vaosvea Ara. So Caesar takes off his crown, puts it on the ground, and he sprays HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar Ribona de Alma Kulei. Inechali Lecha. If maybe I'm bimotzich ein beinecha, at least don't give the entire Malchus of Rome into the hands of this one single crazy Jew. That's terrible. So anyway, what happened was that actually Pume Labarda Roma. So this person had said a tefillah, and he was actually saying from Tehillim. So he was reading Tehillim, and he said, "Halo ata Elohim zenachtanu, ulo teitzei Elohim betzivotenu." It's you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given up on us. Don't go out with our armies. We'll do our own fights. That's how he meant it. So because of that, the Gemara says, but he's quoting from a pasuk in Tehillim. How bad could it be what he's saying? No, but the question is, how do you say it? David atmu kometamei. David was saying, have you given up on us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How come you're no longer together with us in Yad Mash or the Shechina in our armies? This guy understood that the meaning of the Tehillah was that that actually there's a Madrega in which Klal Yisrael has to go it alone, which is similar to the Meraglim. You need to go it alone and do things p'derech hateva. So don't help us and don't bother us. The same thing that we find by Bar Kokhba. Anyway, because of that, the tefillah of the Kesar actually ended up coming true. So this person goes into a Beit HaKiseh, and Ata Drakona Shamti LeKarkashe V'Nach Navshe. So this snake bites him right in the rectum and kills him because of that kind of thought. Omar, so Caesar says, well, this was obviously a miracle. God actually answered my prayer. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this for me, I'm not going to attack the Jews. I'll go back. This time I'll leave them off. And he left. So everybody got so happy. They started, Mamish got away here with murder. Atlika Shrage, they start dancing and singing. They light candles. To the point where you could actually make out the words on the ring that they used to use, remember, to the signet rings. You could actually read it a mil away from the lights. So Omar, so that already drove me. He says, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm letting them off. They call it a victory. This is like the Arabs do in Ramallah. After you finish killing all of them, you know, we won. I'm going back. So Adar Hatzilu, he goes back to attack HaMelech. Omar Abasi, you should know that they sent 300,000 foot soldiers that were all armed foot soldiers, Shlifei Seifei. They were people with swords, went up to Har HaMelech, and they spent 3 days and three nights killing people, left and right. On one side of Har HaMelech, they didn't even realize that this killing was going on. And they're still dancing and singing. And it was so big, it's so densely populated, you wouldn't know what's going on from one thing to the other, and they mamish murdered everyone. Bila Hashem v'lo chamal et kol naot Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swallowed without having any rachamim all of the beautiful places of where Yaakov lives. Ki os ravinam Reb Yochanan. This refers to, and he quotes Reb Yochanan as saying, Shishim ribu ayorot shayolo liyanai melech baramel. That there were Yanai had 600,000 actual towns that were right there in that area. And that was why there was such dense population. These were small villages. These were major cities. They had populations that were as big as the number of people who had left Eretz Mitzrayim. And there were three of them that had double that population. Chutz Bishaloshayim and Kiflayim Kiyotzi Mitzrayim, which were Kfar Bish, Kfar Shechlayim, and Kfar Dichraya. Why they call these weird names? Kfar Bish, that means, what a bad place. Yeah, it was called Kfar Bish because they would not give a place for people to stay that were coming through. So they didn't have like a hotel or a place where they could put people up on the show. So they called it Bad Town. Kfar Shechlayim, this was a place that was really also, this was like a low-class place. They made, the entire town was dedicated to selling watercress, which is not a very wonderful way to make a living. And Kfar Dichraya, they called this the Mel Town. Why do you call it Mel Town? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because they always would have first boys, and then they would have a girl, and then they wouldn't have any more kids. So this was terrible reproductive strategy, because the Gemara says, remember, that batchila simin yafel labanim. The worst thing you can have is to have boys first, which destroy any kind of sense of normalcy in a home, and then you don't have anything afterwards, but you just have this one girl at the end that's going to have to make her way through. That kills both of them. So they also, these three towns were like bad, bad places to live. Omar Ula, so Ula says, this is the craziest thing I ever heard. I saw that place myself. And I can tell you, what you're talking about, 600,000 people in one city and these 600,000 towns. If you could fit 600,000 straws into that place, I'd be shocked. The thing is a few inches wide. This great Har HaMelech, you people talk about always exaggerating the size of Eretz Yisrael. There ain't nothing there. This is pure myth. So how could you say this? There was a tzaduki there that says to Reb Chanina, shakuri meshakuri, the lies that you rabbis say. Same thing. This doesn't have place for anything. Omar Leis, Reb Chanina said to him, you don't understand what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael is called the Eretz HaTzvi. Like we're talking about the churban that takes place, Beretz and Tzvi and Daniel. So it means, the simple meaning is that it's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tzvi. It's the place of his deep desire. But it also means the Tzvi, means it's the land of the deer. What's the pshat? What's the connection to the deer? Because when you skin a deer, the skin contracts and looks like there's no possible way that it could possibly have covered the deer. So Matzvi ze ein oro machazikat b'saro, af Eretz Yisrael. When people live in Eretz Yisrael, it has this incredible ability to accommodate these vast populations, and it still feels like there's so much room, and there's plenty that you can do, and there are so many places to go, and Gavi can take us all around the Galil, and we're walking for hours, and we're so happy. But people are not there, it shrinks, and it just looks like a regular physical place. As a physical place, it's got no room. But as a metaphysical place, it just seems to manage. Rabbi Yumi Bar Chilkia, Rabbi Chilkia Bar Tuvia, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chia were all sitting together, and there was a terrible pogrom at the time in Egypt, in this place called Kfar Sechania. And so they didn't know anything about the place, but they wanted to know whether this is like, is this a big thing to mourn about? It's like another churban of the Romans. If anybody knows anything, we have no information about the time. So Potachad Minayim, he said, I heard a Maisa there. of an Orus and an Orus Satoshin Ishbula Bein Ode Kochov. There was a boy and a girl who were engaged to be married, more than engaged. I mean, remember, Orus and Orus, the Mitzad HaDin, they were actually married. They hadn't gone to the Chuppah yet. And they were captured by these Romans, and they forced them to marry each other. You see, they always want to have the kids to keep for Avodim. Amralo, so the woman says to him, V'vakasha mimcha al tigabi, she'en li ktuva mimcha. I never got a ksuva from you, because we never went to the Chuppah. So I'm not really muteret to you, even though we're married. And indeed, lo nagaba ad yom moto. He didn't touch her from that time until the day that he died. There's a lot of discussion. Why couldn't he write her a ksuva? Because she made, when he died, she told the people, Amra lehem, if you want to say a hesved, you can be maspid this guy, because I can tell you that Pit Pet Yitzro Yoter Mi Yosef. He just laughed off his Yitzro on a bigger madriga than Yosef HaTzadik. Dilu be Yosef Lahav El Chadash Arita. Yosef had this one big Nisoyan. Okay, so he had to resist her. But this guy, every single day, had to go through this. Vahayko Yuma V'Yuma. And Yosef, he never ended up in the same bed with her, you know, at least not most of the time. And this guy slept with me in one bed. Yosef, I mean, his Nisoyan was from an Ashes Isha, wasn't his wife. It's very easy to be Ms. Gaber and to say, my God, this is not my wife, I'm going to touch her. And this guy, he wouldn't touch his own wife because of a Chumra de Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan considered someone without a ksuva, that a Isha lelo ksuva is Asura, because of the fact that it's similar to someone who's not married. That's unbelievable. Potach idach v'yomar, and another one of the Rabbanim that were there said, I know of another Maisa. There was a Maisa where the price of Tvua was Arboim Modiot Bedinah. So they had like 40 saw for one dinner, and then inflation hit, and you could only get 39 saw for a dinner. So they felt somebody must have done something terrible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed inflation to hit. So they went and searched all around town for how could such a thing have happened. They found Aiden, that his father had gone together with his son, and they had both slept with the Nara Murasa on Yom Kippur. And they brought them to Besdin, and they gave them skila, and then the prices went back to normal. That's how sensitive they were to anything that was wrong and how it would affect the quality of life. And another one said, Patachida, it was with the three rabbonim, it was a maisa with a man, Shinatani Navi Ishtolagarsha. A guy wanted to divorce his wife, but he couldn't afford it because I took it to Fatam Ruba. It was a very big ksuva. There was no way for him to pay their ksuva. In other words, he had made a tosefet to the ksuva that was enormous. So what did he do? He figured, you know what, I'll frame her so that it should look like she committed adultery. So he goes and invites some friends. This is like this modern idea, you know, he drugged them all. Shikran, he gets them all drugged with this delicious meal, and then he gives them alcohol. So then he puts them together with his wife on this bed. Then he takes some albumen of an egg, and he puts it on the sheet so it should look like there's semen all over the sheets. So these guys have been at it all night. Takes a few pictures of them. You know, then he goes to Besdin. Then he says, look at my wife. You know what she's been doing. I have to get rid of her. I don't owe her a penny. She's an adulteress. Ve'amidla meidim. Bola Besdin. And she wants... Anyway, it was a zakin. Echad mitalmid Shammai hazakin. So one of the talmidim of Shammai was Baba ben Buta. The famous Baba ben Buta. So Baba ben Buta says, listen, you know, it's all very nice. You could set someone up like this, you know. But, I mean, we've got a lab. We're going to check this for DNA. You know, let's see when this supposed semen on the sheet over here. So I have a kapala that lov and beitza soled minaur. So if you heat white of an egg, so it basically, it singes, it contracts. But shechvazera docha minaur. If you heat semen, it actually goes deeper into the material. So let's do a little test. Then they find out that the guy had set the whole thing up, and this is nothing but egg whites. They brought the guy to Besdin, and they beat him up, and they took the ksuva out of his flesh, let me tell you. So That was another maize. Anyway, so apparently this was quite an amazing town in which they had incredible Talmid Chachamim, unbelievable sensitivity, and nonetheless, they had this terrible pogrom. Omer Abay of Yosef, so after such tzaddikim, Me'achad Abit Tzaddikim, Kuvayai, my time, Yanush, why did this terrible pogrom happen in that town? Omalei, because they thought that it's okay to live in Borough Park. They were so amazed with the wonderful quality of Jewish life that they had. So they weren't misable. That only those who are actually misable on Yerushalayim, zochet to be Yerushalayim. If Yerushalayim is itself in a state of avelus, then you have to be in a state of avelus. So that means that the mida geneged mida, you're not going to be misabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you what to be misabel on. And then the third raya of Rabbi Yosef, of Rabbi Yochanan, that Asher Adam Afachi Damid, Makshir Libo, Yipo Bara'a. This is not a crazy story. Because of a bent fender, Chorev Beitar. So Beitar was one of the most chashiva and also most densely populated cities. And because of a dent in the fender, it was destroyed. What was the minig over there? So in Beitar, they had a minig of a misyali yinuka, shatli arza, and yinuka shatli turnita. So they used to plant this eres tree as a simon of strength when a boy was born. And when a girl was born, they would plant a pine, so, which is like a sweet tree. Then we'll put the two together when they would get married. They would take the trees, cut them down, and use the wood that they had used, that they had grown from their birth. Beautiful minute. They would make the chuppah out of the woods together to show that they were destined to be the beautiful, beautiful minute, right? Okay, so Yom Echad, so one day, they have a road that the daughter of the Kesar was driving by, and she got into an accident and bumped and made a dent in her fender. So the people that were with her, of course, but you're not going to have Caesar's daughter running around with a broken fender. So they cut down these trees in order to repair it. And the people went wild. So Kotsu Arzava Ayalala, they brought it in to fix the car. These crazy Jews, they go and they start a mob against the Romans. So the Romans went and reported it. And this was the destruction of Beitar. We're learning the Keren Yisrael normally means the godless of a thing, its power of a thing. And this is where Bar Kokhba was. So Amr B'Zer, Amr B'Avor, Amr B'Yochanan. It's a remez here to the Kranot, Kol Keren, meaning all of the Kranot of the Romans was Gada B'Choriav. What does that mean? A military leader leads usually with horns. So they call that a Keren. They made this mamish a massacre. There was so much blood that it reached all the way to the Yamagoro from Beitar. You think that Beitar was close to the Yamagoro? No way. Now, I don't know what this would mean. I mean, the Beitar that we know, what do you know, Barnea, about this? Can you figure out anything that would mean that Beitar was a mil from the Yamagoro? Could there be another Beitar? I mean, what?
No, Nachal Sareg flows in that area and goes down to the Yamagoro.
Yeah, I mean, but I was thinking that, but they would never call that because afterwards, unless maybe that's good for what Rabbi Eliezer was referring to, that the Nachal, that was the mil. Maybe that would make sense. We'll see in a minute. Tanya, the Brita says it. Rabbi Yezer HaGadol says that there's Shnei Nechalim Bebikat Yadayim. So that was, maybe that was like the Nachal Sorek nearby. Echad Moshech Elach, Echad Moshech Elach. B'shiaru Chachonim, Shnei Chalokim Mayim Ve'echad Dam. So they measured the water in those rivers, and it was two parts water to one part blood. So maybe that's the point where Rav Arne is saying that till the Nachal, it goes to the Yamagoro, was a kilometer. B'masnisa Tana, Shevar Shanim, Batzruav De Kochavim Et Karmayem Yidamam Shal Yisro B'lo Zera. For 7 years, those Romans, they were able to harvest wonderful harvests in the vineyards, not using a penny for fertilizer because of Jewish blood. And this is the second Beis HaMikdash. At the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, Om Reb Chiya Barov and Om Reb Yeshua ben Korcha, Sachli Zaken Echad Mi'anshei Yerushalayim, one older person who had a Kabbalah from the time of the first Churban, he showed me that because Zohar Agnav Uzrad and Rav Tapachim Matayim Achadisrei Ribu, that I was taught that right here in this valley, the executioner, they call him, you know, the Lord High Executioner, Nevuzradan, killed 2 million people, over 2 million people. And there was a massacre of close to 1 million people, 940,000 people, just on one stone where he smashed these people. Until there was so much blood that it actually touched the river of blood, touched the blood of Zechariah. And this was Zechariah ben Yehoyada, which is a horrible story. After everything that Yehoyada had done and for Yoash and had protected him, it's an absolutely horrifying story. So his son, Zechariah, who gave them Tochacha, because then they turned, you know, they said to you must be a god, they said to Yoash, if you could live in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kadesh HaKadashim, if you could live all of those years, you must be a god. So he told them that this is Mamash Avodah Zarah, and then, so they had him killed right there in the Beis HaMikdash. And as he's dying, it says in the Pasuk, he says, Yirei Hashem v'yidrosh, God should see this and be derish what it means, that this is the way that you pay back the chesed that's done to you. So what happened is that dam came all the way to the dam of Zechariah. And that dam was actually the entire time from that moment of the death of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, the blood had not stopped bubbling as if it was bubbling out of the floor. So he comes and he finds, this Nevuzradan finds the dam of Zechariah, it keeps coming up, it's boiling out of the floor. So he asks the Kohanim that are there, what in the world is that? So they say, that's dam Zvachim, Dishtapuch, there's so many carbonis brought over here. So the blood keeps coming up, it's absorbed into the ground. He brings the dam of various animals there, and he sees that it's not true. This is not animal blood. It does not seem to be the same. So he says to them, look, if you tell me the truth, fine. And if not, we'll start tearing your flesh off of your face with my iron rakes. So I'd advise you to open up. So they tell him, all right, what can we tell you? My name, Allah, what can we tell you? It's so embarrassing. We had a Navi. And he was mochiach lam b'milei d'shmaya, and he would tell us how to act, and so we got up and killed him. Kaminin aluya v'katlinan le. And since then, akama shnin has been years, the lo nayach dame, his blood keeps boiling. Amar lahu. So the Nevuzradan said, apparently it's been waiting for me to be mafias it. I have to be avenge his blood. He's asking for vengeance. Ana mafaitzin alay. So he brings the Sanhedrin Gedela and the Sanhedrin Ketana of Chav Gimel that is there in the Beis HaMikdash. Kills them all right there over the blood of Zechariah. Velonach still kept guard. He brings Yerushalayim's children, Bachurim, Ubitulot, Kataladuyah. Didn't make any difference. He brings all the kids, Tinok and Shobek Rabban from school, kills them all. Still goes on. And Vuzradan himself is going a little bit nuts at this point. So he says, talks to the blood. He says, Zechariah, what the heck? Tovim shebem ibadatim. Because of you, I killed all of these people, the best people in Yerushalayim. What do you want? You want me to wipe out the entire country? So when he said that, the blood stopped boiling. At that moment, here at Shuvah B'dayte, Nevuzradan said to himself, my God in heaven, this is what happened to the Jews for killing one person. What about me? What's going to happen to me after killing all of these people? So he ran away. He left a shtar giving away his stuff and telling him what should be done with his property. And he went and was Megayer. And you should know that Nevuzradan was not the only one of the haters of the Jews that ended up being Megayer. Naaman became a Ger Toshav. He was Mekabel on himself not to be Oved Avodah Zarah, and he would keep the Sheva Mitzvahs. Because of that, he was a Ger Toshav. And Banav Shel Haman Limdu Torah B'Vnei Brak. We know that children from Haman ended up in B'nei Brak, and they were teaching Torah. Bimnei Banav Shal Sisra, Limdu Tinokos Birushalayim. He also had people that came from him. And Sancheirev, his children, his great-grandchildren, obviously, Bnei Banav Shal Sancheirev, they were the leaders of Torah teaching, who are referring to Shmaya Vavtalya. Shmaya Vavtalya, Mamish, from the Gedele Gedelim that were part of the whole Mesera of Torah, and they taught. They came from Sancheirev. V'ayna dechtiv, natati adama al tzachiyach sela levilti ikasot. So this is the story of Zechariah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says, this is the continued description here in the story of the Churban that, and in that Yefesko gives over, that the blood of Yerushalayim, I put it on a smooth rock so that it cannot be covered. It'll never get absorbed. And this is referring to exactly this mice. What is the meaning of this relationship? What?
So what's bothering you? What Beit Din would accept a Rasha like this to convert? It's like accepting Goebbels or Hitler Yavach Shemo to convert to Judaism.
And why can't you be Mekabel Hitler?
This is the question. You would think this person was so much blood on his hands, a mamish murderer. We say that he can do tshuva and not have any accountability for his actions.
And everybody else who does tshuva has accountability.
This is
you do tshuva, you have accountability. And the Mesillas Yesharim said last night that you do tshuva and it's kiilu the oven disappears. And he asks, how are you going to fix the fact that you killed someone? How can you do tshuva for killing someone? That's what he speaks about in Perek Dalet. And Menashe puts a tzelem in the Heichal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel and betshuva? Murderers of all the Nevi'ei Hashem and so on and so forth. Or do you doubt the powers of tshuva? And all of the goyim that we're supposed to wipe out if they came and they're mekabel mitzvahs, that you allow them to stay in Eretz Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not out for blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out for humanity. A completely different way of viewing things. That's cool for what the Malachim said. They said what you said. How can you take this guy back, Petruva? Referring to the story of Menashe. Because what do you want to do? You want to make people doubt the Kayach of Petruva? Is that what you want? You want to end up with the kind of society we have today? You know, where we dump the George Washington into the river because we don't like what it is that he did 200 years ago. Anyway, yeah, it's unbelievable. Remember, the whole story of Yaakov Avinu with Esav, where he didn't want Dina to be Ma'aser Esav B'tshuva. That was like one of the worst things, right? Anyway, Hakol Kol Yaakov V'Hayadayim Yedei Esav. Hakol, this means the call that happened at the time of Adrianus Caesar. Shoharag B'Alexander Shomitzrayim Shishim Ribu Al Shishim Ribu. He doubled the Yotzei Mitzrayim, Kiflayim Yotzei Mitzrayim. This guy massacred the Jews in Alexandria. And the Kol Yaakov that was crying out from the story of Aspasianus, and obviously it doesn't really mean Aspasianus, because in the end, it's referring over here to the story of Beitar. And we just had that Aspasianus had left the area half a century before that. So it must be referring to Adrianus. So this is referring to Adrianus, Shoharag Bekrach Beitar, Arba Meot Ribu. Some say it was even Arbat Alafim Ribu, 40 million people. Hayadayim Yedei Esav, that refers to the Romans, Sum Malchus HaRasha'a, Shech Rivat, Petenu, Vesafa, Techalenu, Viglitanu, Miartzenu. Dabar Acher, Akol, Kol Yaakov, means Tfila. Ein Lecha Tfila, Shemoelet, Shein Ba Mizaro, Shel Yaakov. Effective Tfila in the world is effective because it has some Zerav Yaakov that's part of it. The same thing is true of Yadayim Yedei Esav. Wherever you find a war that is won, there's got to be some element of Esav in that war. Shein bo mizaro shel Esav. V'hainu diyomar Rabbi Elazar. So what we've said before is that even what it was, it's little achle bekurtzi, a little bit of lashon hara that these people went and they told the Bar Kamsa's story, that kind of thing has this immense power to destroy. V'hainu diyomar Rabbi Elazar. Bishot lashon techave. When the Lashon is going around shooting, so to speak, that's where you should hide, because that's like the most dangerous thing in the world. Don't hide from missiles. But what you should hide from is the newspapers and from Lashon Hara, because they're much more powerful than missiles. So, b'chirchure Lashon techave, all of these arguments, all these horrors, like what's going on now with this insanity against the government here, That's what you have to hide from. That's much more dangerous than weaponry. So David HaMelech writes a tehillah about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This means that David HaMelech, for all of his dreams of building a Beis HaMikdash, was shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu both the first Churban and the second Churban. The Churban Bayis Rishon, it says beferish, Al Naharot Bavel, that's the Churban Rishon. Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu. But it also refers to the Bayis Sheni in the same Tehillah. Because it says, Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom, Met Yom Yerushalayim, Omrim Oru Oru Adai Sodba. And that's talking about the Romans, which come from Edom. And that's the second Beis HaMikdash. So you see that included in the vision, this we spoke about how even back in Maisparashis, we and the moment that Yaakov Avinu came to the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Ein ze ki menavis, he saw Ein, he saw the Churban, and then he saw the Bayit, and then he saw the Churban, he saw it Bonui, and Choruv again. Now, once we're talking about the psukim of this terrible destruction, David HaMelech also mentions Kealacha Huradnu Kalayon, but Yinu Kitzel Ve. So what are these psukim referring to? What were the horrors of, for your sake, meaning that it was Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, that we are killed because of Kiddush Hashem? So one of the most famous maisim was Amr of Yiram Shmuel, Vitamer of the Ami. Some say it's even a brisa, that there was this mass ship that was taken with a bunch of beautiful kids that were supposed to be brought to Rome to be working in prostitution. So the Romans, when they came in, so they grabbed all of these children to make them child prostitutes. There were 400 boys and girls, and Hirgishu Batzmam L'mayim Mitfakshim, they figured out what it was that these Romans wanted for them. So they said to each other, Im anu tov im bayam, anu bayim l'chayel amaba, do we have a right to jump into the ocean and to avoid this horrible future that they've got for us? Dorash Lehem HaGadol Shebehem, so one of the older kids, had a drasha that he knew. It said in the pasuk, "Amar Hashem mi Bashan Ashiv Ashiv mi Mitzolot Yam." Mi Bashan means mi Ben Shinayim, mi Ben Shinei Aryeh. There we are in the teeth of the lion, meaning that the Romans have got us in their teeth, and I will rescue them out of the sea bottom. So, what does that mean? Ashiv mi Mitzolot Yam. Those who run away from these Romans, I will bring them back from the bottom of the sea. Elo shetovim b'yam. So when the girls heard that, they all jumped in to the yam. Kofzu kolam v'naflu l'toch hayam. Because girls are always focused on somebody's going to turn us into prostitutes. And the boys, they don't usually think about such a thing. They said to themselves, my God, kal v'chomer. I mean, okay, you know, girls are, that's what they're used for, is basically prostitution. But to turn us into child prostitutes? Anu she'in darkeinu l'kach. Alach es kama v'kama. If the girls had the guts to jump, for sure we should jump. Afheim kavtzu l'toch hayam, and they all were killed before the Romans could stop them. V'aleim ha-katuv omer, ki alecha horagnu kol hayom. That's what the pasuk is referring to. That's in your covet, that we should be nechshavnu katzon tifcha. Rav Yehuda amar. Rav Yehuda says, I'll tell you another incredible story of being killed al kiddush Hashem. That's the famous story of that woman who had 7 sons at Yuakama, Makami de Kesa. So they bring the first of her children in front of Caesar, and he says to the boy, Plach lavodat kochavim. And he says to them, Katuv batorah nochi Hashem alokecha. What are you, crazy? They took him, dragged him away, and killed him. At Yuleidach, son number 2. Bring him, Kamei Kesa, Armelei, Plach lavodat kochavim. It says to the Torah, Lo yelecha achirim achirim apanai. How could I bow down to Abedizora? Avkua vekatlua. And they take him out, killed him. They bring to son number 3. At Yuleidach, Armelei, Plach lavodat kochavim. Took him out, killed him. Son number 4. Took him away, killed him. Son number 5. No way. Of course, check out son number 6. כתוב בתורת, השם אמרת היום והשם אמיר לך היום. כבר נשבענו לקדוש ברוך הוא, שאין לנו מעביר אותו באל אחר. אף הוא נשבע לנו, אין מעביר אותנו באומה אחרת. Anyway, at this point, Caesar is, he can't bring himself to the guy. Come on, I mean, just let's pretend. How about if we pretend? I'll throw down my ring, you know, and you bend down, pick up my ring for me, okay, little boy? And at least people will think that you listened. I mean, this is too embarrassing. I don't want to have to kill you all. So, Joachim Vishakra, you pick it up, give it back to me. What do you say? At least people will say, Kibal Ali Armand de Malka. So, he accepted the orders of the king. So the kid says to him, aren't you embarrassed? Chaval alecha Kesar. Chaval alecha Kesar. Ay, you poor, poor king. Al kvod atzmach hakach. Look, you're so worried. People are going to make fun of you because a little boy didn't list. This is your big concern in life. And about the kovod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means nothing. You don't understand what this implies. Al kovod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alechas kama v'kama. So they took him, and they took him away to kill him. So the mother said, wait, let me at least kiss him. Let me give him a kiss. So she says to him, L'chuvi mula Avram Avichem. I don't know why it says Bonai. The Mashmarut is that she's talking through him to them, or maybe when it says V'katur, they only prepared him to be killed, not sure. But anyway, she says Bonai, Loshen Rabbi. L'chuvi mula Avram Avichem. I want you to go tell Avram Avichem. You think you're hot stuff. You took one child to Mizbeach. So fine, they took him away, and at that point she went totally insane. She jumped off of the roof. Another issue that you can understand for Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom. It's an amazing insight of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that this refers to Zumila Shenitana B'Shmini. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. Can you imagine such a thing? Mela, you know, today people think about, you know, you need to do an operation and so on. Do you know what it is to take an infant at a time before there's antiseptics, before there's surgical procedures? Take an infant at the most vulnerable moment of his life, basically. Just was born. Mother is sitting there worried about the infant. You take the most vulnerable part of his body. My God. And you cut him, and he's bleeding, and it's like crazy. These guys are nuts. This is Poshek Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom. It's like murder. In Lamaisa, it's so dangerous, and it's all because of the schus of Mila that nobody ever dies from Mila. It's unbelievable. Mamish unbelievable. That's also Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omer, this is these crazy Talmid HaChachomim. That they lose track of what they're doing. They're so involved in their learning. So they'll show, you know, on their own necks, you know, you cut here, you don't cut there. If you cut there, that's a din of hagrom. Oh my God, Omar Rava, you know, you can show things on your own body as if, but don't, not shchita and not zaras, you know. Well, this is called cancerous and this, oh my God. They're showing on your own body like things that are murderous. Don't ever do these people. They get so involved in their learning. Yeah, they never think about it. Another thing that is Rabnachum Bar Yitzchak Omar, the meaning of Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom is Talmidei Chachomim. Shememisim Amtzmam Al Divrei Torah. These are people. They don't eat properly. They don't sleep properly. They don't take vacations. They treat themselves like garbage in order to be able to use every single moment for Divrei Torah. A person has to be ready to drop everything else, kill yourself over Divrei Torah. That's where you find Torah. Oh, my Rabbi, Papa Chanam, Rabbi Yochanan, that you should know that there were 40 sa'a of kitzutzei tefillin, nimtzu b'roshei harugei beit Torah. They found just the boxes of the tefillin. Forget about the ritzuis, but they collected the actual tefillin themselves, and put the ritzuis aside, from those who were killed in Beitar, that's how many tefillin there were. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Sholosh Kupa Shel Arboim, Arboim Sa. That's how many tefillin there were. Three boxes, each one Arboim Sa. The Masnisatan Arboim Kupa Shel Sholosh Sayim. So fine, it means it was 120 Sa. Velo Plige. There's two different, these are not different stories. It's referring to different tefillin. Because remember, we have Remember we spoke about the idea of tried and true technologies? Tefillin is another one of the tried and true technologies, which nobody realizes how much tefillin have changed over the past 100 years. It used to be that making tefillin was incredibly difficult because you didn't have the kind of machines that would make it possible to put on the pressures that we have today to be able to make tefillin that are small, self-contained. Plus, incredibly, look at the difference in the ksav of tefillin once upon a time and today. And it's beyond belief. You look at the old ksav and it looks like everybody is so primitive, they don't know how to write. The detail and the amazing sophistication of what has happened is seen in everything. So it used to be that tefillin shel rosh were enormous because you had to fit in 4 batim. Each one of them has its own klaf. There's no way to make that small. So the tefillin shel yad, you could put all on one klaf and you'll have one bayit they could make reasonably sized. But a tefillin shel rosh, I don't know how many of you have seen the older tefillin shel rosh from your great-grandparents or whatever, but they're enormous. So the tefillin shel rosh were much bigger. So the 120, the Arboim Kupais of Shalosh Shalosh Sayim, is not a machlokas what the first Arboim saw. The Arboim saw is in terms of tefillin shel yad, and that's 3 times as big it was in the ratio. And Hadadara, the other ones are referring to tefillin shel yad. Okay, what do you say, Reb Arnea? We finished one of the largest dafim ever, huh? Or are you fast asleep? It can't even give me a smile. Looks like Barnea's fast asleep, and all we got is the tefillin shel rosh, except it ain't tefillin. Oh my gosh, he's trying to show us the tefillin shel rosh. Come, show us your face, and show us your smile. Welcome, Barnea, back to the world.
So, can Rebbe expand on the halachic implications of the Maaser of the 100 children in terms of suicide and in terms of Masada, where it is mutar in the context of taking your own life in order not to be, because we know the sugah of Chaybahem. Only if the goyf kills you.
All right, we had discussed this before, but Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll do it again. Okay.
Well, I'm dafka taking a group to Masada tomorrow morning, so it'll be great if maybe that's it before then.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Today is not the
right, no pressure.
Right day for me. Yeah.
I know.
Okay, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much. We should be zaycha samchenu kimaisi nisano shenayis reinu ra'a. Prepare for a binyan.
Amen.